Joseph, what they call in the Bible as the Great Tribulation, is that the period of 7 years of the covenant which the Antichrist is making?
No. The Great Tribulation is actually only 42 months, like it says in Revelation 13:5. And 7 years, there are 84 months at the period, includes the Great Tribulation and the daily sacrifice and the construction of the temple.
But the whole Christian world knows that the Great Tribulation is 7 years.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of Christian sites, there's a lot of confusion, to be the truth. You know, it's like it's a mess. Like there are as many doctrines as there are Christian denominations. The problem is that anointing to understand the scripture. I began to understand the scripture when I began to obey. Like when I started to go witnessing, evangelizing every day, then I began to understand the scripture because, like it says in Acts 5:32, I think it says the Holy Spirit God gives to them who obey. So you can even went to, like you can really see Christians also that see the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues or whatever, but because they don't go evangelize, they don't obey the one of the most basic commandments of preaching the gospel to the lost. Okay, they only preach to the ones who don't need it, the ones who already have it, the ones who should give it. Okay, and because of that, because they don't evangelize, they lose the anointing. They don't understand. That's why there are so many different doctrines, understand? But actually, the Great Tribulation is only after the breaking, like it says in Daniel 9:27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's Shavuah, Hebrew Genesis 29:27, I believe. And he say in Shavuot means seven in Hebrew. Okay. In Hebrew, they don't have the word week; they just have seven. It means seven, whatever. It means also 7 years. So in the middle of the seven, that's 3.5 years, he shall stop the daily sacrifice and set up the abomination of desolation. All right, and that will provoke the Great Tribulations.
All right, so how do you know it's not 7 years? Because, what you said about the Christian world, I understand, but I don't know so much it's because they don't obey. Because I believe Christians who love the Lord, who try to follow him, they do try to obey. I think it's more because there is confusion in the interpretation of the scriptures, and nobody's teaching the Christians, and that's why they remain ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, how can you obey something that's going to happen in the future? How can you obey the scriptures if it's not fulfilled yet in the prophecy? What kind of obedience?
Yeah. Yes, yes. It's not that nobody teaches them. Like, there are teachers everywhere, and some are very good, in fact. Very, quite rare, actually. All right? I understand the Bible, not because I'm smart or anything. It's just an anointing that many teachers receive because they just go witnessing. I repeat, it's not a matter of intelligence or theology. A diploma in theology, like the Pharisees had diplomas in theology, they understood nothing. And like Jesus said in Matthew 11, you didn't reveal this thing to the wise, but you revealed them unto babes. So there are, there are too many teachers. In fact, too many false teachers. See, today there are so many teachers that fulfillment of Jesus, Matthew 24, continually talk about false prophets and false Christ. Today, the 99.99, the false prophets of the world, they're all preaching from Christian pulpits, all right? But God loves every church. God loves every true believer. God is like, but it seems like today the too many churches are mostly busy preaching against other churches than against the devil, to lift up Christ, etc. So we want to talk about the Great Tribulations here.
So how can you prove that it's not 7 years?
Well, it's very easy, actually. In fact, I don't know where in the world these guys got this idea that the tribulation is 7 years. It shocks me. I mean, you must really read the Bible once every 10 years to get some kind of those theories.
No, because it's good news to know it's shorter. It's going to be just 1 day or two, or even less, I wish.
I'll tell you, even 3 months and a half would be too long. 3.5 years is enough for people to deny Christ, take the mark of the beast, and go to hell. 3.5 years is a long time. It barely took Peter three and a half hours on the night when Jesus was arrested to deny him. You know, there are not many hours it took Judas to go sell him 30 pieces of silver. 3.5 years is a very long time. Okay. Yeah.
So what does it say in the Bible, 3.5 years?
Okay, it says in the Bible, first of all, in Daniel 9:27, it talks about there will be a covenant for 7 years. And then the same scripture, well, the second part, it says it shall be broken in the middle after 3.5 years, and then you have it already there. But you have a lot of confirmations everywhere.
Okay, but it doesn't say it's the Great Tribulation. It says the covenant will be broken. That's it.
Okay. All right, fine. But it says that after, in Daniel 9:27, it says after the breaking of the week, in the middle of the week, that shall cause the desolations. Is the same word in Hebrew used in Daniel 11:31, where it says that it shall place the abomination of desolations in the temple. So it's the same event, Daniel 9:27 and Daniel 11:31 is the same event. It uses the same words, understand?
Yes, it says, so you're saying when it breaks the covenant, it puts the abomination in the temple. And in Daniel 11:31, it says the same, that the abomination is put in the temple. It doesn't talk about the Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation is very, very clear in the Bible, because we can see that after we read Daniel 9:27, we find the perfect continuations in Daniel 11:31.
Yes.
Okay, in fact, it's a continuation. So Daniel 9:27 says it shall break the covenant, which that will bring a desolations. The same word desolations is found, like I said, in Daniel 11:31. Here, I'll read it to you. I just want to make this point very clear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says in Daniel 11:31, arms shall stand on his part, in the part of the Antichrist. We understand that by the whole chapter of Daniel 11. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. The sanctuary is a temple in Jerusalem, all right? And shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. Now, there are, of course, a false interpretation that this was fulfilled already, 2nd century BC, by Antiochus Epiphanes, when he placed the statue of Zeus in the temple, and he unleashed the greatest tribulations ever against the Jews, killing all the Jews who would not worship Zeus and forsake God. Okay, fine. This is false. And also many Bible interpret this by the false. Because, how do we know it's false? Because Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, when you shall see the abomination of desolations placed in the holy place, okay, spoken by Daniel the prophet, then flee. So Jesus puts in the future, because verse 21, he says, then shall be great tribulations. And the verse 29, the rapture. So understand, the step one, abomination. Two, flee. Three, tribulation. Four, the rapture. So he's talking about the last generation, like he says in Matthew 24:35. When you see these things, that is the last generations.
So you're saying, I would like to ask you to read those scriptures. You're saying in Matthew 24, it says that after the placing of the abomination in the temple starts the great tribulation?
Yes, that's what he says. Look, let me read it to you. This is a very important point that many dear brethren, they get confused. Yeah, because we have some good teachers in the world today, very few, and we have many confused teachers. They're more expert in collecting money than preaching the gospel. So what do we need to do? Go back to the Bible. Don't look to me, the teacher. I see. You can recognize a false teacher when he becomes eternally your mediator between you and God. A true teacher will teach you to be independent in Christ, to hear from God directly by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Matthew 24. We quoted Matthew 24:15 and 16, which says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, future, is not Antiochus Epiphanes. I'm sorry for Bibles like the Amplified Bibles and many other like a very nice Bible, which they actually put that in the footnotes in the Bible, deceiving a lot of people. I mean, pray for these Bible publishers. And then, anyway, so future. Then what are you supposed to do? Verse 16, then flee. Why? Because it says, woe to the woman who gives suck in those days, etc. 21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Verse 29, and then immediately after the tribulation, it says after the tribulation. It's no mistake here. I know, but the majority But you are the brand that said tribulation, the rapture before the tribulation. Fine, but there is a problem with that. There is no scriptures about it. So Jesus says immediately after is a big after. The only way they can justify this false interpretation is going to be secret. It's so secret, not even God knows. So secret, not even the Bible knows. But see, you cannot base an earth-shaking doctrine like salvation on a scripture which is not there. So you can only believe in pre-tribulation rapture if you twist the scriptures. Interpret and reinterpret. Okay. Anyway, we have a big section. We talk about the rapture. Don't miss it, okay? We have a long section explaining the rapture from some 10 or 20 different angles.
So, conclusion, because this is very interesting and it's very clear now. In Matthew 24, Jesus says that the signal when the tribulation starts is the placing of the abomination in the temple, yes. Right? And in the book of Daniel, it says that the placing of the abomination in the temple will be at the breaking of the covenant, exactly. In the middle of the 7 years.
Exactly.
And that's why we know that the Great Tribulation starts in the middle of the 7 years,
yeah,
right?
But there is, yes, but there is more. Look, if you
what
go,
else?
Can you go with me to back to Daniel, please?
Yes.
Look how interesting. Yeah. Go with me to Daniel 11:31, which, as we said, is a continuation of Daniel 9:27, where he talks about the signing and the breaking of the covenant, Daniel 9:27. This Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 27, continues in Daniel 11:31, all right? So Daniel 9:27, making and breaking of the covenant. Daniel 11:31, as I read before, and the Christ shall take away the daily sacrifice, shall place the abomination that makes desolate, and then what happens? And continue reading. If you keep reading the rest of the chapter, you see the consequences of placing the abominations in the temple. Yeah, the consequences. And such as do wickedly, such as do wickedly, verse 32, against the covenant, okay, shall he corrupt by flattery, but the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's the time. That's the day of the 144,000, the days of the people who don't deny God, the day of the people who refuse the mark of the beast, the day of the people who die for Jesus, the day of the people who learn to evangelize now and will continue then, the day of the people who will not worship the devil, who will not go to hell with the devil, who will not receive the mark of the beast, who will die for Jesus, because it's the great tribulation Jesus was talking about. 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. These are Bible teachers, good teachers. But they shall fall by sword, flame, captivity, and spoil many days. The Bible tells us the days. 1,260, 3.5 years, 42 months. What does it say that? Oh, in many places. It says that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, where it talks about the tribulation, the Antichrist, the beast. Daniel 11, chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, it says 1,260 days. It says 42 months. Daniel chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 14, it says 1,260 days and 3.5 years. Revelation 13, verse 5, 42 months, and on and on.
So all the scriptures are about the Great Tribulation?
Yeah, but let me finish. Yeah, I want to finish this. This is a great tribulation. Now, verse 34, now when they shall fall, there shall be help with a little help. There shall be angels around helping us. Not much. In other words, we will not be fighting with weapons. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be helped. The angels will tell us where to go and hide. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. It will be a time of the Judas. It will be a time the false brethren. They'll want to join you so you can help them. And they'll betray you like Judas. Many shall cleave, so join them with flatteries. 35, ending of the paragraph. And some of them of understanding shall fall. Why? Why do they fall? To try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end. Understand? No pre-tribulation rapture. Even until the end, they shall be killed, purged, etc. Because it is yet for a time appointed. So this is the great tribulation, a consequence of the placing of the abomination in the temple. The same which Jesus, Matthew 24, in parallel of this message, he was saying the same thing in different words.
Yeah, to me it's very clear now why the tribulation is 2.5 years. Now, the last thing you read is that even the faithful ones will fall. So So then, what are we going to do?
Well, what are we going to do? Jesus fell in the Calvary. Paul the Catholic said, Peter was crucified up and down. Every apostle was killed. The fact of the matter is, says Revelation 12:11, they overcame him, the devil, because they loved not their lives unto death. It's like a victory is not saving our skin. I mean, a victory is not to be raptured before the tribulation like cowards, forsaking our brethren here. That's like completely anachronistic. God never did something like that. He never, the only ones who could do that are the mercenaries. Jesus said that the mercenary sees the wolf and runs away, but the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Never in the whole history of God saves his leader so that the sheep can be killed. That's a totally a mercenary interpretation. That's just because I want to save my skin. It's so popular because today the churches are full of good Christians, bad Christians, true Christian, false Christian. There are Christians who want to live and die for Jesus, and there are others who just want to sit on a church armchairs and do nothing. And there are preachers that just want to collect money, worshiping Baal. You know, Baal is worshiping the churches today. Many preachers are worshiping Baal. What's Baal? Baal is money. I mean, all the preachers from America. I worked with Americans many years. Wonderful missionary, but there are also many mercenaries. All the preachers, gospel of prosperity. Make a covenant with God with money. And by the way, the covenant has to go through them and money to them. But that's so diabolical. We are not here to preach, give me your money. We are here to preach, take my Jesus, I give you.
In fact, this message and the scriptures that even the faithful ones will fall, they're very unusual to hear this kind of message. Because what we hear usually is that God will protect us, God will take care of us, we're going to have victory in Christ. And it's very hard to actually receive this message.
It's the opposite of what the Bible says. The protection of God is not by saving the flesh. Jesus said, he that saves his life shall lose it. He that loses his life shall save it. It's the opposite. And the protection of God is the death on the Calvary. Why didn't he protect 12 apostles? They all died. Why didn't he protect the early church for 300 years? They were persecuted and crucified and burned alive and thrown to the lions and imprisoned for 300 years. Oh, they had a different Bible these days? Not at all. Look, very much people preach Revelation 3:10 where it says, because you kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God is in this business of trying. So they say, you see, God is going to protect. First of all, this is a terrible interpretation because this message is not for the Church of Christ. This message is not for the Christians of the world. This message is not for the believers of the world. Not at all. This is one of the seven messages given only to one of the seven churches, six of which got a complete different message. One church, God said, I'm going to vomit you out. The other church, you have a name to be alive, but you are dead. The other church, I'm going to fight against you with the sword of my mouth.
In other words, the Christian world takes the message that they like and they generalize it for everybody.
Yeah, because it's just like the days of Jeremiah. It's like Israel was listening. Jeremiah was only one voice in Israel, and there were like thousands of false prophets prophesying God will protect Israel from the Babylonians. And Jeremiah said, no, the Babylonians will kill you, will rape your wife, will kill your children, will destroy you and kill you all. And whoever survives will be a slave in Babylon. And they said, oh my goodness. Jeremiah chapter 26, he said, you see this house of the Lord, the temple? God, if you don't obey, God is going to curse it. And in fact, he did. It was destroyed. Look, you want to hear the next church in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the next best church. Okay, there were five not too good. Two or three horrible, one vomiting and one dead. So how is this message to the Christians? It's not to the Christians. It's only to the faithful Christians. Like it says in Revelation 3 verse 8, I know your works. I know your, and because of your works, I will protect you. Then it goes to, says to Laodicea, Revelation 3:14. I know your works, and because I know your works, I'm going to vomit you out. How is this message for the Christian? It's not for the Christian. It's only for the faithful Christian. It's not like salvation for free. It's by works of faithfulness in Christ. Can we open our eyes, please?
Amen. Do we have any hopes to be protected in the Great Tribulation?
Yes.
Even if I don't want to save my skin, maybe I want to save my children or
yes.
my brethren.
But that's what I'm trying to say. The faithful church, like Philadelphia, be protected. But if you are serving the world more than Christ, if you're warming up a church bench on Sunday morning more than warming up the hearts of the lost and get them saved in Christ, you're not going to be protected. You're going to be destroyed. Just like you're going to be vomited out, just like Laodicea. Look, look at the next church. There's another church pretty good in the book of Revelation, and it's the church of Smyrna, okay, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And that's the next best church. And why doesn't God protect them? Look what he said to the next best church. Let me read it to you. Verse 10, Revelation 2, 10. Here, let me go there. It says to Smyrna, Fear none of these things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Okay, in verse 11, okay, one verse up, from 2:10, go to Revelation 3:11, and it says, be careful to Philadelphia that nobody steals your crown. Understand?
So all this with the purpose of trying us.
The purpose is testing, trying. Of course, like Jesus said to Peter, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. You know, you sift wheat, you grind them, and you make a flour out of it, to powder. But I prayed for you. But he prayed that your faith. He said, "I pray for your faith does not faint." But he was still tried, even though Jesus prayed for him. He was tried and he failed. He denied Jesus 3 times, but because Jesus prayed, okay, it was not like Judas. He deserved Jesus' prayer. Okay, Jesus didn't pray for Judas. Why? Judas was a guy. He was like those virgins without oil. It was not prepared. Okay, and because he prayed. He repented. Judas did not repent. He repented falsely.
Joseph, what are you going to do during the Great Tribulation? You and your family, your 6 children.
Well, I'm going to run. I'm going to obey Matthew 24:16. I'm preparing tennis shoes. You know,
run for 3 years?
No. It's like Jesus said, when you see the abomination, Matthew 24:15-16, then flee. It doesn't say build a religious building and sit around every Sunday morning. It says go every day in the streets and win souls. And when the tribulation comes, you know, if you've been walking for Jesus, preaching the gospel, you will keep walking to a refuge. If you read the book of Acts, they were always hiding, always running. Jesus, we see in John chapter 7, he was hiding. I mean, Jesus could command the weather. He could walk on the sea, on the water. But he was hiding. The creator of the universe was hiding. Proverbs 22:3 says, "The wise man sees evil and hides himself, but the foolish continues and is punished."
It says, "Actually, flee to the mountains." Is it physical mountains we need to run and hide?
Well, my wife is Danish, and they have zero mountains in Denmark. Where are they going to go? What mountain they're supposed to hide? It's a symbolic mountain. Okay, mountain is the perfect place to hide.
Okay,
the perfect it could be the Amazon. Here where we are now, here we are near the Amazon. Okay,
yeah.
We are just very very close, and we have no problem. No problem of hiding. You see, every God is going to tell everyone a place to hide. Okay, he told me to come to South America, and here I am in South America, beautiful one that just arrived a few months ago. Because God told me, he said, you better move because here, he told me in Europe everything is going to blow up. I told everybody, nobody moved, what am I going to do? But besides, not everybody is supposed to come in South America. Maybe it's on South America, supposed to go to Europe. It's like God will have a different place for everyone. I suggest Europe is not the best place. It's North America even worse. I mean, I expected those guys to have all kinds of atomic wars. Some areas small, some areas bigger. But according to the prophecy, Europe is going to be the center of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. It is not. I mean, unless the Lord calls you, you should move. You should move. Like for example, if you are sitting near to a some kind of atomic base, a NATO base, atomic base, get out. Don't sit around those places. If you're even near, even some civilian nuclear plant, don't sit around there. Look at Fukushima, Chernobyl. Get out. What is sitting there next to an atomic nuclear plants? I said for years I've been telling all my friends, I write to them, say, get out of this atomic area. Get out. To my friend, I published newsletters. I even put maps where the atomic bases are. Look, here where they are. You near this place? Get out. Where you supposed to go? It depends. Some people are supposed to change only a house. Some people are supposed to change a town. Some people are supposed to change a country. I had to change a continent.
But do you think the persecution against the Christians will be worldwide or not?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are some false interpretations. Say Jesus was talking to the Jews. Why? Because he said they that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. So that's ridiculous. Okay, that's ridiculous. That's like saying that the tribulation is only going to be in Israel. That's not like that at all.
The rapture as well, then.
That's not at all, because in Revelation 13, it says the whole world will follow the beast. In Matthew 24, it says, and you shall be hated by all nations. It doesn't say shall be hated only by who? In Israel.
Right.
Who's going to persecute them in Israel?
But there will be certain countries which will make war with the Antichrist, so they won't surrender to the Antichrist control. Aren't those countries good places of refuge where you can hide because there is no persecution there against Christians?
Yes and no. The best place to hide is where the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. You need to have a connection with the Holy Spirit. You need to disconnect from us. You must not just follow what we preachers and teachers and pastors are telling you. I mean, only believe what we say that you see in the Bible. Don't believe anything else, because I tell you, that nobody is as full as balonies as the preachers of today, okay? You need to follow Jesus, because most of the preachers and teachers and pastors are false. They don't send people on the streets to preach the gospel. They don't lead them to preach the gospel. They don't reach the lost. They just preach the gospel to the people who already believe. Why? Because that's where the money is. Okay, so be careful. Today, the churches are infested with false prophets. So who do you need to follow? Only those who follow Jesus. Okay, so prepare to follow the Holy Spirit. Be independent in the Holy Spirit.
What about the countries which do not surrender to the Antichrist? Aren't those very good places of refuge?
Yeah, okay. Yes and no, it depends on where God calls you. Personally, I wouldn't stay in a place near an atomic base, near an army base. I wouldn't stay near an atomic base. I wouldn't stay in a country where they're belligerent, thinking about wars. I would pray for a place or a peaceful place where I can preach the gospel. And it's not that because a country fights against the Antichrist is necessarily a good country, because it's like America is going to fight against the Antichrist for sure. But they are more into the mark of the beast than everybody else in the world. See, it's kind of different mafia families fighting against each other. Understand?
How come America is more into the mark of the beast?
Well, because today I believe the mark of the beast is the microchip. Okay, you don't have to believe that. That's just what I think. And many other Bible teachers. America is the place where they are most into it. People are already beginning to receive it. America right now is the number one most antichrist country in the world. Used to be the most Christians, and now it's full of demons. It's full of Hollywood, pornography, homosexuality, perversions, abortions. And the most powerful a country without God, the most demonic.
But the mark of the beast isn't something that the Antichrist will control. Like, how can America then be I don't understand. America is going to have the microchip or the mark of the beast, yet not be controlled by the Antichrist?
The mark of the beast is not going to be something that the Antichrist will control very much. Just toward the end, the Antichrist will take control of it. Already now, which, like I said, I believe is a microchip, because it's a radio receiver transmitter. A microchip is a radio that transmits and receives signal, they experimented on animals, on people, it can control your brain, okay? So I believe, I'm convinced that that's the mark of the beast, is a microchip. It can, of course, it does not have to be the microchip, it can be something smaller, whatever. But even if it's a postage stamp, it will have something to do with the 666, you will know it's the mark of the beast. Whatever it is, it's not important what it is, but you just must reject it. Now, the Antichrist is not going to be so much into this mark of the beast.
So who will control it then?
Well, see, there is a second beast in Revelation 13. There are two beasts, okay? First is the Antichrist, Revelation 13 from verse 1 until 10. And then from verse 11 until the end, it talks about second beast, okay? It talks mostly about second beast, which is a guy with the horns of a lamb, which represents Christ, Christianity, which apparently this guy is going to be a big, big Christian leader, who basically a demon-possessed leader. He will tell the world, okay, to make an image of the beast, all right? And then it says, and it's still he, okay, he is the second beast, this religious false prophet. He's called false prophet in Revelation 16, 14, 15, 16 over there, and in Revelation 19, verse 20, all right, and Revelation 20, verse 9, 10 over there, he's called the false prophet, because he's sent to the lake of fire, etc. So this false prophet, surely a religious guy, will tell the world to make an image to the beast. How can he tell the world that? Because these guys will have a religious influence in the world. They'll be highly respected. A big shot worldwide religious with a big cross hanging around his neck. How do we know? I imagine that because it says he had the horns of a lamb. Okay, so I believe it's going to be a Christian deceiver. And it's him who tells the world, okay, to make an image to the beast. And then it says he, the second beast, this false prophet, causes all, okay, Revelation 13, 16 to 18, to receive a mark on their forehead or their right hand. So it's not the Antichrist so much. The Antichrist will pretend that is not his job. The devil will assign the job of the mark of the beast to another demon called the false prophet, called the second beast, Revelation 13, 11.
More about who this second beast is, but first to clarify something about what you said about the mark of the beast. You said in America lots of people received already the mark of the beast.
Well, you know, it's not the mark of the beast yet. I believe the microchip is the precursor, is the prototype, is the beginning of the mark of the beast, but it's not the mark of the beast yet. There are families who already volunteered to receive the microchip, etc., etc., with the excuse that the advertisements TV say, oh, this will protect you against criminal. If you get lost, they'll find you, blah, blah. So they're advertising it. Mm-hmm. You know, but the day will come where they're going to make it compulsory because through this microchip, they can actually control your brain.
So right now, who's controlling these microchips?
No, it's free. Nobody controls it. It's just like anything. But one day, it's going to come under the control of the Antichrist and this false prophet. Understand? So right now it's just in the experimental stage. But they already discovered some horrible characteristics that control you. You know, it can give you a sexual pleasure. It can heal you of headaches. They have a list of sickness that it can heal. It can heal you. I have documents from the internet. Doctors said that it can heal you for cancer stuff. Taiwan, they made a microchip like that, that they give a list of sickness it can heal you, like headaches, migraines, eye problem, etc., etc., etc. You know, just like you wear a pacemaker, if you have a problem with your heart, if you have heart attacks, you carry a pacemaker. It's a little machine which you carry, and it makes your heart function properly. So this microchip is going to have some quote-unquote miraculous properties that will help the people who receive it. It will also help them to reject Christ, because it can influence, it can be programmed. They experimented it on criminal in America, and the rapists don't rape, the murderers don't kill, and the thieves don't steal. So whatever the microchip is programmed against, whatever crime is programmed against, they will stop you from committing that crime. Okay, but all they have to do is just program it against Jesus Christ, a free Christ. You can accept the religious Christ, the false Christ.
Now, those people that you were saying they willingly accepted the microchip, I suppose they don't know that it's a very potential mark of the beast for the future, right? Like they accept it without knowing what they get into. Is it possible for them to just take it out of their body?
No, it's not possible. There is poison inside. They say that there is, and if you try to take it away, it can poison you. I have even a film about it, and it's made in a way that you cannot take it out. It will break inside, the poison comes out. They give a lot of scientific blah blah reason. In reality, it's like a hook. Is like when you hook get a fish on the hook, the fish cannot take it out anymore. It's made in a way it doesn't come out anymore. You understand? Plus, when you receive it, you don't want to take it out anymore because it's like this thing is made to convince you that it's good. It's like you go to somebody who loves atheism and convince him to forsake atheism. He will not. Go to somebody who loves alcoholism and drugs, drug addiction, loves it. Convince you to forsake it. It's like going to Adolf Hitler, convince him to forsake Nazism, Stalin, convince him to forsake communism. Okay, go to the American leaders, convince him to forsake capitalism, etc. It's like people don't forsake what they like. Microchip is made in a way that people are going to like it, but they're programmed it. Plus, the way of the truth. Is that you must receive Jesus. You must receive the truth, and that will protect you. Because they don't know it's a mark of the beast that will take you to hell. Like it says in Revelation 14, verse 9, he that received the mark of the beast will go forever and ever in hell and burn in the fire. So receive the mark of the beast because it blocks. You don't go to hell because you receive the mark of the beast. You go to hell because the mark of the beast stops you from receiving Christ. People don't go to hell because they're murderers, thieves, adulterers, God blasphemers. Okay, St. Paul was like that. He was killing Christians. People don't go to hell for the sins. Like it says in Matthew 12, every sin shall be forgiven except one, rejecting the Holy Spirit, rejecting Christ, rejecting salvation. So people go to hell because they don't receive Jesus. I mean, there are good people in hell who never killed, they never commit a robbery, they just didn't receive Jesus. There are in heaven murderers, adulterers, pedophiles, terrorists who repented and received Jesus. See, it basically is like because they reject the truth, God allows them to be deceived. Once you reject the truth, automatically you're deceived. Once Adam and Eve rejected God and his truth, automatically they elected the devil, Satan, as the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the god of this world. Look, let me give you a scripture if you're not convinced yet. 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about the Antichrist. Okay, it talks about him, verse 4. He opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, that is worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right? And then he keeps reading. Verse 7, the mystery is already at work. And then verse 8, then the wicked one shall be revealed when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. All right? And verse 8 is interesting. Then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Jesus, with the light of his coming, destroy the Antichrist. See, darkness darkness cannot overcome evil. No. Let me finish this passage here. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, why do they perish? Why do they take a mark of the beast? Why did they go to hell? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, condemned, some Bible translate condemned, judged. It's a word that means damned, condemned, judged. Okay, that they all might be damned, condemned, who believed not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So the reason people receive the mark of the beast is not because they are ignorant, it's not because they are stupid, it's not because there's somebody tricks into them, but because they open up their hearts to receive the truth, to receive Jesus.
But will it be mandatory, like children who are ignorant, would they have to be forced to take it?
It will be in a way, like it says, I believe, I firmly believe that God is not going to give too much power to the devil, but it will be balanced. People will have a choice. I don't think it's going to be forced on the children. And how do I believe that? I believe because the Bible says, for example, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said there is no temptation taking you, but such as it comes to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptations, make a way for you to avoid, to escape. So it's like God will never, it's like we are now up and against the devil every day. Okay, when I cross the road, many times I vision the demon possessed that they would kill me. They can't, because the angels are around me. So when do the angels allow the devil to hurt me? I the devil hit me many times. I was hit by the devil, by sicknesses, by wrong thoughts, by pornography thoughts, by evil thoughts, I got involved in fights when I was young, and the devil tricked me many times. I would have died already 2-3 times, but every time the Lord protected me, his angel. Why? Because my heart was open to the truth. Deceived, yes, but open to the truth. Like David. Yes, he got tricked by the devil into Bathsheba, killing her husband. But because he, at the bottom of the heart, somewhere, very much at the bottom, he loved God, God saw that. And because of that, God, he had something in his heart that God could build on it. And on that, because of that, God could forgive him, restore him. And until today, he is known as the greatest king Israel ever had, the king after God's heart. So there is no sin God is not going to forgive you. You can kill, you can steal, you can destroy. Some people will say, you're encouraging me. I'm not encouraging people. That's just what happened in the Bible. The God's people, they were guilty of this. In other words, if you're tricked into these sins, but if you repent, even 70 times 7 a day, God will forgive you. I'm not saying you should do these sins. Okay, of course not. I'm just saying if the devil tricks you into this, God will forgive you 70 times 7.
Amen. The Bible talks about the mark of the beast, associating it with the number 666. So what does this number represent, and why is it connected?
Well, the Bible identifies it with 666. Now, we will know exactly what that means when we get there. We already have some ideas, but it will be made, it will be easy to recognize it by this three number, 666. See, God will make it easy enough, even for somebody not too smart, to know that's what the Bible talks about, not to take it.
But you're saying that most of the world will take it anyway?
Yes, most of the world will take it anyway, but everybody will know not to take it. Right now there are satanic bands called 666. Everybody in the world knows that 666 is a bad number associated with the devil. Now, what is it exactly? There are many interpretations. And so, personally, I have one here which I like. It seems to make sense to me what these three numbers represent. See, there are some Christian researchers who have been investigating. They came up with quite an important discovery that some mathematicians, scientists got together, appointed by the power that be, the New World Order, etc. They had to figure out a way to give a number to everybody in the world. And they came up with the idea, they said that to give a number to everybody in the world, we need three groups of six numbers each. 666. They said it takes 18 numbers in order to give a number to everybody in the world and divide them by countries. Okay, here is, I give you the breakdown. Okay, so 18 numbers as follows. The first three numbers is actually 666, like the number of the program.
Why did they choose 666?
Because because it was prophesied. Because the computer has to recognize what we're talking about, what it is. Understand? So every.
But this is just a technical thing that it's 666, or they chose it on purpose.
I don't know why they chose it. Probably because it's the best number for the computers. I don't know why, but the Bible knew, God knew, and the Bible prophesied it was going to be like this.
It's amazing. It's a coincidence too much.
Now, you can say, why doesn't the devil know the prophecy? Yes. He knows the prophecy. But here is the thing. The devil is a puppet, is a tool. He cannot change anything. He has to follow whatever was prophesied, because God knew that was going to be the choice of the people of the world. And God prophesied. And the devil was going to change the prophecy. He couldn't change that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Was prophesied. It couldn't change that Jesus was going to grow healthy and safe, even though his puppet Herod killed the children in Bethlehem. Still, Jesus got away. Why? It was prophesied Jesus was going to get away. It was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 that Jesus was going to be crucified in 30 AD. Daniel chapter 9 gives the date when Jesus was going to be crucified. Couldn't the devil change? He couldn't change anything. The devil is a puppet. Murderous puppet, a lying puppet, still a puppet. The devil doesn't have any power. He can only kill people. Hmm. He can only set up a puppet, Hitler, Stalin, communist, capitalism. Okay. So anyway, so these 18 numbers, they found out that are divided as follows. The first is a group of three numbers, 666. And then there is a second group of three numbers, which is the country code. Every country in the world has three numbers. Mm-hmm. Because there are some close to 200 countries, mm-hmm. So there must be three numbers. So this way, 66, the computer will recognize what we're talking about here.
Nice.
And it's like you go to do shopping, okay, and they scan your hand, and the computer knows, all right, this is the bank account, or we need to discharge the money. So the second three numbers are the country. And then there is another third group of three numbers, which is the area phone code, the area code for the telephone.
For the phone.
Because every area in the world is divided in telephone's code.
Yeah.
You see, I remember when I was many years ago, I was in Italy, all of a sudden there was an announcement in the newspaper, starting in a little while, it said, every time you make a phone call, you must, even if you call in the same town, you must digit the area code.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
You have to do that in your country,
yes,
too?
Yes, you do.
How come all these countries agreed that you have to digit the area code of your town if you phone in the same town? Because they want to track. There are world computers. They want to track you down where you are, because they monitor what you're saying. They record everything you're saying, and they want to know who you are, where you are. They want to know who you are and where you are. See? This actually, it's all underground, but they already started doing it. So we got now many numbers?
So the first three are
666
for everybody, right?
Yeah, that's the number, that's the code to recognize this system, this program.
Right, then the next three are the country code.
The country code.
The following three, the phone area code.
The phone area code. And then there are the following nine numbers. In order to reach 18, is the financial code. You know, in Italy they call it fiscal code. Some other countries they call it social code. What do they call it?
Is this the number that it's in everybody's ID? You mean?
Yeah.
And in everybody's passport.
It's a number that when you do big shopping, you buy a house or you buy something big, a car, they want that number.
Ah.
It's a some country they call it fiscal code. Some country call it financial code, social code. It's a number you need it for to buy.
Yeah. In my country, they call it personal numeric code.
Okay, fine. So basically, you needed to buy, and the Bible says that nobody can buy without this number, and the number is 666 in parable, in symbol. Okay, the Bible couldn't have said the number is 6631567 because that's a personal number.
Yeah.
So it's 666 for everybody. Everybody will get 666 plus their personal number. Okay, so the Bible couldn't put all the numbers of everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible just put the first three numbers. So, and he gave everybody a number, and the number is 666.
So with this group of 18 numbers,
yes,
which you say they can identify every person,
yes,
what are they planning to do with it?
Okay, first of all, again, this is a probability, okay?
Okay.
I am convinced that probably this is what's going to happen. But it's like we'll have to wait and see when we get there. Like whenever I say, I think, is my opinion, that means it's not dogmatic. Okay, you don't have to take it as that said the Lord. Okay, be careful. All right, so a false prophet, you recognize because he will preach things which are not based in the Bible as word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't see it in the Bible, it's not word of God. It's the word of the preacher. So that's why when something is not in the Bible, I will say it's my opinion. So that you can take it or leave it. You know, I usually say probably, it could be. So that's a honest teacher does that. A false teacher say, of course it's like this. It must be. It doesn't say in the Bible, but it's logical. Well, no, that's the way of the false prophet.
Yeah, so this group of 18 numbers, which is 3 times 6, 666, they created it for what purpose?
Well, because the devil wants to send people to hell. Once you receive this mark of the beast, you cannot receive Jesus anymore. Officially, it is to stop the crime, to stop bankruptcy, to check on the banks, so people cannot steal your bank card. Okay, they cannot steal your bank card, but the devil will steal your soul for sure.
But it's already included in the microchip or no?
No, it's not yet. Ah. The microchip is everywhere now. It's in the passport, it's in your cell phone, it's everywhere. Because the microchip comes in different forms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The one they put in the body looks like a big grain of rice, like a capsule. A little bigger than a grain of rice, it can go in your body. That's for the body. It's made to be amalgamated, to be tolerated by your body, not rejected. But the microchip you have in your cellular phone, in your car, everywhere, it can have different forms, understand?
Yeah.
In a bank card that has a microchip.
Yes.
I got a new passport, and the embassy, they told me, with this passport, they said, you can go to America without visa. I said, how is that? They said, because you have a microchip. Ah, I said, thank God, it's just on the passport. So it's okay to take the microchip. For now, you can take it as long as it's in the passport,
okay,
it's in your cellular. But when they come and say, excuse me, yes, what can I do for you? Can we stick this in your head? And then you can say, why don't you stick it in your head? He says, excuse me, what, you want me to go to hell? Why don't you go to hell? I'm sorry. Yeah, let me give you some gospel. Maybe don't go to hell.
Amen.
So you understand, so there are 18 numbers, okay, and they are divided, 18 numbers, it's 6, 12, 18. Three times, so 3 times 6 numbers, okay, 3 times 666, and the first 3 numbers is 666, so it fits perfectly with the Mark of the Beast, or Revelation 13. That's why I'm convinced that most probably this is going to be the system. But when we get there, we will see. Just prepare, keep your tennis shoes handy, ready to run and train. How do you train? You train by preaching the gospel. No use on dead buildings, religious buildings. Preach the gospel like Jesus in the streets, in every street. You know, Jesus never had a religious building. The streets where Jesus perished. The world where he's perished. Amen.
Amen.